Hey, welcome back to the Infest Podcast. This is episode 159. I'm Brian.
You said it all doom and gloom, like 159.
I don't know.
You getting tired of doing them every week?
No, no, not at all, man. It's awesome. I love
this
doing
is
it.
Johnny.
Johnny. Johnny's back.
Johnny's always been here.
So, we missed you at the expo or at the toy show. But next year it's on a Saturday, so
hopefully I get to go.
You'll hopefully be able to go. And then don't forget, on February 3rd-ish is the Super Ohio Toy Show, which is all toys, no event, no podcast, no cosplayers, just toys. So it'll be interesting.
It's Super Bowl
Sunday. Yep, it's Super Bowl Sunday. And the other thing too is, if you guys listen to the interviews that we did from the Ohio Toy and Comic Show, thank you. Make sure you check out our shop. Go to infestpodcast.com, click on the shop, and you can get the limited edition Ohio Toy and Comic Show Mortal Kombat tee that we did. Master Piscina actually loved it. He said, "I'll actually wear this," which was pretty funny.
That's pretty cool.
And he was awesome, but we need to do a long form thing with him. Anyway,
where's he out of? Chicago?
Chicago. Yeah. Maybe when we go for Celebration, we can like be like, "Hey, can we bring our mics over and talk to you?"
Right. You can take the mic over. I'll be down on the floor looking for Mark Hamill.
We can do it one night
in
when
a stormtrooper costume.
Yeah, you think he'll do that again?
No,
he's
people
a little
watch for that stuff. No.
He's a little short for a stormtrooper, isn't he?
Not a first order though. He could do first.
I guess he could. Yeah, their standards are a little lower.
The first order stormtroopers that walk around Hollywood studios are all shorter than me.
Are they really?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I don't expect a stormtrooper to be taller than me.
Yeah,
I'm more like in between stormtrooper and Wookiee.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, they're all short. They're fun down there.
Yeah, cool. All right, so just hopping into it. News broke today. They cast Batwoman for the CW series.
Or pilot or whatever.
Is it going to be? I think it's going straight to series.
Oh, no, they didn't say that. They said it was like pilot.
Well,
if it gets picked up, it'll be the first superhero of the
LGBTQ.
Yeah, I don't remember all the letters.
There's a lot. When we were younger, it didn't have an acronym. It was just, you know.
Homosexual,
yeah,
or gay,
right,
but and I don't know.
It's nice to see representation and all of that. That's great for everybody. So Ruby Rose is going to be the character.
She is bisexual in real life, I believe.
I thought she was gay. So gay, yeah.
I can't remember what her.
But either way,
what her status was.
So she was great in the season of Orange Is the New Black. That she did.
I didn't watch that.
She was awesome in John Wick as the signing assassin.
Something else.
She's been in a lot of stuff recently.
Yeah, I know she was in something that I watched, but I don't remember what.
Yeah, John Wick 2 she was really good in.
I didn't watch that yet.
But she was a DJ before she became actress and stuff. She's super sexy. She's a great voice.
She was in Crocodile Dundee Returns.
Oh, was she?
No, that commercial thing?
Oh, yeah.
She wasn't that.
So... Anyway, I
Why
think
didn't
that's
that
cool.
Really happened. That should have really happened.
Yeah. But what is it? Kane was her first name? Kate? Kane?
Cassandra.
No, Cassandra Kane was the one that didn't talk.
Kathy Kane.
No. All right, I'm having a brain fart here.
Pretty sure it's Kathy Kane.
Oh, wait, not Batman, Batwoman.
The Kane spelled different. You know that, right?
Yeah, it's K-A-N-E.
Yeah. I think it's Kathy Kane.
It just says as Batwoman. Okay, great. Like, tell us her actual name.
That's lazy.
Kate Kane. Writing. Yeah.
Kate.
Yeah.
Kate and Kathy.
I thought it was Kate. Anyway. So this will be interesting. I mean, she's got that like super heroine look to her. You know, she's fit.
She's gonna have the dire hair, blonde.
Well, she's gonna have to. Well, no, because she wears a red wig that.
Right. But when she's not Batwoman, she has the short blonde hair.
Yeah, but she doesn't. I mean, her hair is like dirty blonde. I mean, she doesn't have to dye it to be like bleach blonde.
Do it.
I mean, Melissa Benoist didn't dye her hair blonde to play Supergirl.
She didn't?
No. Her hair's still like dirty blonde. Anyway,
Pitch Perfect 3?
Oh, yeah. She was one of the I haven't seen that yet. She was one of the pop singers.
There's what I seen her in. Resident Evil, the final chapter.
I never did see that one.
Yeah, she was in that.
Okay, cool. So she's a good actress. I like her.
That was before Orange is the New Black.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But I'll be interested to see.
Yeah, it was 2016.
Well, she was in the second or third season.
Enlisted afterwards. Yeah. So she must have did Resident Evil and then that afterwards.
Cool. Oh, she was in Triple X as well. The Return of Xander Cage, the newest one.
I don't know if I want to see that.
So it was okay. But and she's got the she's in the Meg coming out. The Jason Statham Megalodon movie.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about them introducing Batwoman before any of the other Bat family characters?
It's easier for them.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so because of the fact that you can build off of her and have the other one show up eventually.
I think to comic book people, she's...
And is this going to be an Arrowverse? Or...
Yeah. I think she's going to... She's either going to show up on the Flash or
Batman's
Arrow.
Batman's been there the whole time then.
Well, right.
Yeah. It's just, his name's Oliver Queen.
I think... We're going to find out he's really Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My parents were killed and I was adopted by the Queens.
I think having her show up first... lets them tell a lot of different stories.
It's easier to universe build the same as Supergirl.
Well,
where Supergirl, you know, Superman's there.
Right.
And she can say Batman, you know, Batman exists or doesn't.
But Batwoman isn't really that well known.
Right.
You know, she's a relatively niche character.
For like 60, 70 years.
Yeah. But she's still relatively niche, like in this form.
Well, right.
You know,
But, I mean, you know, you think about that this character has been around for 50, 60 years. And, you know, it's kind of cool idea to bring something like that to the table.
Yeah.
Because you can use some of the goofy stuff from back then that she was involved, too. So.
Well, I wonder if they're going to do the army, like, brat dropout thing that she is currently.
I'm betting they do, yeah.
So, the interesting thing about this, though, is this is Geoff Johns' first real, like, move. In the new role that he has with the DC universe.
Yeah.
So,
the creative,
you know, And then it's Greg Berlanti. So it'll have the same look and feel.
Well, as... if it's Arrowverse. Have they folded Black Lightning into the Arrowverse yet?
No.
I don't get that.
I never understood that. Like, honestly, what Black Lightning would have brought to the Arrowverse was a really cool, like, elder statesman who had been there, done it, walked away, and then come back.
And the thing is, it could have built a Justice Society.
Yeah, whatever. Like, outsiders.
Even if you did it where it's not in the Arrowverse, like Supergirl isn't, where Flash has popped in there or something, you know, on accident because of the lightning and everything. I mean, they could do something like that and make it where it's an ancillary of the Arrowverse.
Sure.
That's what Supergirl is. It's an ancillary Arrowverse show now. I mean, we have to do the obligatory crossover every year.
Sure. So, I don't know. I gave up on all of it. Like, I'll check out Legion.
I haven't seen any of it.
Yeah. Or Legends when it comes back. But I'm not really interested in any of it anymore.
I think it's just for me that it's one of those things where at this point I binge those type of things.
Yeah. Well, they're all on, they've been on Netflix for months.
I haven't had the inclination to binge them. I binged some kind of show about music producers this week.
Oh, cool.
Off of Hulu or Amazon. I think it was off of Hulu. That just caught my eye and literally went through the history of recording studio stuff and that. So it was a lot of interviews with musicians and a lot of interviews with music producers and music producers who are musicians and how it's gone from, you know, the early days of recording to what it is now with a lot of the sampling and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool because each episode was like a history for a period of time.
Okay.
Yeah, like they this was done, I want to say 2016, 2015, something like that. So there were still people alive that they interviewed, like Tom Petty was in it.
Oh, wow, before he died.
Yeah, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr. I mean, a lot of the, like, older guys that I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't realize that, you know, that guy was still around or, you know, that type of stuff.
Cool.
They had everybody from at least one person from each very well-known band from the 60s interviewed.
Nice.
Grateful Dead. They actually used some of Jerry Garcia's old interviews in it and that, so that was cool.
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So the next thing up is we didn't really talk about the James Gunn thing. And we don't want to get into the politics BS of it. It sucks hardcore that, you know, what happened.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't really want to get into like one side or the other. I think
I'll say what my opinion is that Disney made a mistake.
I will agree with that opinion.
I mean, if you hold everything that everybody ever did against them, then Disney should just eat itself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
So I think with this 20th Century Fox purchase going through.
Yeah.
And I'll get to the stuff Dave said here in a sec. But Dave, like I know him.
Yeah.
That Dave Bautista said in a minute. I think what they need to do is move Marvel and Star Wars and Indiana Jones under 20th Century Fox. And so it's still like a Disney brand, but don't have the castle at the beginning of these shows, right?
Well, they don't have the castle at the beginning of any of that stuff.
No, but it's still
Marvel opens with Marvel Studios. Lucasfilm opens with Lucasfilm.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, don't.
The only thing that would be cool is they move Star Wars over because you
need you get that
20th Century Fox opening on everything.
So when I was little and we'd watch a movie and it was a 20th Century Fox movie, and that would happen, and it wasn't Star Wars, yeah, I would leave the room.
Yeah.
I'd be so angry that it wasn't Star Wars.
But
doesn't that make sense? Like, then they can be a little, they can have edgier.
Each other,
well, I get it, but they're still like under the, I don't know. It seems
even
like,
even if they went to 20th Century Fox, they'd still be under the thumb.
And I understand that they're, and that doesn't change anything.
No.
It's like Miramax, because Miramax was with Disney for a little while, you know?
And Miramax was part of Disney.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
They owned it.
Yeah, and so, you know, like Miramax has done
Pictures and
yeah,
all those like defunct studios.
Right.
Those were all Disney studios. People don't know that.
But Miramax
people
isn't.
People aren't educated. Like,
Miramax is defunct
themselves.
Not because, you know, anything with Disney. It's because of everything that happened with Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it gives everyone just kind of a layer of insulation, because the Disney fans and family is one thing. And, you know, making these edgier movies with edgier personalities is another.
But they've always done it.
I know.
I mean,
but it's
that people don't get, because people are not educated.
People are
Hollywood
so overly sensitive.
Did a lot of rated R movies.
Yeah.
They did a lot of rated R movies. Hollywood Pictures was owned by Disney. You know, Miramax did a lot of rated R. Disney
right.
had some money in there. I mean, you know, it's not like they're producing rated R movies. It's just that he was a young punk, even
yeah.
if he was in his 20s, he still was a young punk trying to be controversial because he was working for Troma. He was doing stuff
right.
like that.
And Troma was completely irreverent.
If you've never watched a Troma movie, you probably should, just to see why.
Yeah. So, okay, so I was having this conversation earlier today, as a matter of fact, like saying, I'm so happy Twitter wasn't a thing when I was like 18 or 19, because nobody wanted to know what I thought when I was 18 or 19. They barely want to know what I think now, right?
Right.
But like, at least now I have a little bit of experience to know what not to share. Like, I was having a conversation, and he was telling me like, man, I love it when you post on Facebook because you only post when you're at the movies. And it's totally refreshing because there's nothing political about it right now. And I was like, great. I'm happy I bring a little brightness to your day every 2 weeks, whatever. It was funny, you know, but no, my friend who I came across her Twitter account from when she was younger, and I was reading, like, I was like, hey, I found this awesome Twitter account. Let me read you some of the
yeah.
tweets. And she was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
And
like, wait, that's me.
She's like, wait, those are mine. And I was like, I know. And they're awful. But
your opinions when you're younger,
you change.
Your opinions now shouldn't matter about what you're doing on the job. My personal opinions could get me fired from my job.
Absolutely.
But
they
that's
shouldn't.
Not very fair.
No.
My personal opinions of people I work with now could get me fired from my job.
Yeah.
but I should still be able to have my opinions.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I'm not harassing anybody. If I said something really negative and I apologized for it, let it go.
Right.
He didn't say anything that, like, he's done. There's some, like, weird thing about, like, there's a cabal of people in Hollywood that have a pedophilia ring going on. It's like, that would have been exposed a while ago if it was true.
Yeah.
I mean, as many investigative reporters that focus on Hollywood, that would have been exposed.
Unless they're all a part of it too, yeah, Johnny.
It's all a cabal. So,
anyway. Yeah, I, you know.
My problem is that Disney jumped the gun. They literally, like, jumped the gun.
No pun intended.
Like, you know, investigate beforehand.
Well, so look, it's at, like we didn't talk, we did not, we talked very little about Chris Hardwick, right?
AMC has, like, put him in a room with a lot of flashing lights and tied him to a chair, and now he's been reprogrammed.
It wasn't even him. I mean, like, I mean, they went, we talked about it. Well, we talked a little bit about it, but, like, we really didn't get into it. Like, he got railroaded by this woman, and AMC said, you know what? We're going to look into this because, you know, at the end of the day, it was a blog post that was private that was shared by somebody else, not her.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, it just so happened to coincide with the second season of his show about to air.
Well, in my personal opinion is, if you have that much time to go through somebody's Twitter account and go back that far, maybe you should go help somebody with something, like, you know, feed the homeless or, you know, fix something in the world and stop nitpicking stuff in the world.
Go ride a bike, something, because this is so frustrating. Okay.
So Batista.
So Batista, right?
Of all of them, I expected the most emotional to be him because,
well, he owes his movie career.
Yeah.
Okay. So I come from with Batista.
We all know that he was WWE wrestler.
From wrestling. Right, and like, he's one of Angel's favorites.
Right.
I really enjoyed watching him. I like to make fun of him, but,
well,
he's
physically fit to the point that he's beyond a WWE wrestler.
He's small now. He's not what he was.
They call
him
WWE,
the Animal Batista.
Yeah.
And, like, he came out to, like, the pyro, and, like, he did the fake Gatling gun thing,
right,
and it was awesome. I mean, he has one of the coolest entrances, right? One of the worst. He did the spear finishing. It was so stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a whole nother. WWE is a whole nother thing right now.
Of all the people, I expected this. I expected a response from him first.
So
he's the first that's been vocal.
I'm gonna say this. I appreciate that the Guardians cast came together and said, we're gonna take a couple days and we're gonna talk this out amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna make a statement. And nobody really kind of jumped the gun, like, Dave did a little bit with the cyber Nazi comments and things like that, but he's not wrong in the sense that, like, you need to watch what you say because you don't know who's coming for you.
Well, it's just a repeat of history.
It is. We're in the middle of McCarthy era red, you know, are you a communist? Are you not? But the thing
is communists are the ones that are,
Well,
they're not even communists anymore. The communist doesn't exist anymore.
You know, there was a whole thing that happened at Gen Con over the weekend where a conservative YouTuber got attacked by a Nerdist producer.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
Like, exactly. But, like, the people from Gen Con were then going on and, like, banning people and, like, blocking anyone who asked questions or mentioned it. And it's like, you have to tell the whole side of every story.
Well, right, yeah.
Like, especially if you're in the media. So, BuzzFeed, Huffington Post, New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times, whatever, IGN, I'm looking at you guys. You have to tell the whole story. Quit skewing this shit one way or the other.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. James Gunn said a bunch of stupid shit. Great. He tweeted it. It's in writing. Great. It's actually, all tweets are all archived in the Library of Congress?
No, I didn't know
Yeah.
that.
Wow. So even if you delete your shit, it's in the Library of Congress and you can go look it up. All right. So then you have Batista, who was a wrestler, who came on as Drax and was the highlight of the first movie.
Yeah.
The highlight. He came on in the second one, and they used him probably 20% more than they needed to, but he was still great.
Because James Gunn enjoyed his performance
right.
and, you know, wrote stuff for him.
And then you have Infinity War, And he has the greatest line of the entire movie when he says, I'll do you one better. Why is Gamora?
Yeah.
Which he ad-libbed.
Yeah.
So, like, he was Inspector, which I watched up until the point where he got killed. And I was like, screw this. I'm done with this movie. This is stupid.
He gets killed in everything now, don't he?
No. Well, I mean, I guess he does.
He got killed in Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, so he's in Blade Runner 2049, and I wish I would have stopped at the point where he got killed because I would have saved myself about 4 hours of my life.
Four hours? How long is this movie?
I think it's like 17 hours.
Oh, really?
Maybe 40?
Did HBO cut it down?
Did you watch
it?
Two,
I haven't watched it
It's
yet.
Almost 3 hours.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you know, and he's doing other stuff. And
well, sure.
So,
yeah.
So I love his... I love his loyalty to James Gunn.
Yeah.
I don't want him to walk away.
He's sticking up for his friend.
He's sticking up for what he thinks is right, too.
Yeah, well, I can't disagree with him.
So
I can't disagree with him because I'm literally at this point where it's like, you fired the guy for saying some stuff that was dumb a few years ago. He apologized for it before he ever got hired for the first Guardians of the Galaxy. And he apologized again. Very respectfully, after you fired him, when he could have been like, F you, Disney. This is what Disney does to people.
So
blah, blah, blah,
here,
blah,
here's
blah.
My actual favorite thing about all of this.
You heard nothing from him.
Did you didn't get Infinity War on digital yet.
Not yet.
There is a director's roundtable.
Mm-hmm. I know that.
Gunn, Coogler, Russo's, Whedon, Peyton Reed.
They let Whedon in the room?
Yeah.
I'm joking.
Peyton Reed and Jon Favreau. Those seven, right?
Because Favreau is... the founding.
And James Gunn is very prominently featured in this.
Well, sure.
And it's like, you guys are idiots because you let go who should be taking over after the Russos are done.
Yeah.
Whenever the Russos decide they're done. Oh, and Taika Waititi was on an iPad in the corner, which was really funny.
Yeah.
So,
but it's the idea that James Gunn was the perfect person to be the custodian of what's coming galactically.
Yeah.
Because Captain Marvel, Guardians is just building toward
we have the X-Men back, we have the Fantastic Four, we have Galactus,
we have Phoenix and all that stuff. Yeah,
and I'm sorry, but James Gunn is the one I want to see.
Well, sure,
like but helping Kevin Feige. You won't now.
You
so,
won't.
So do they use his script? Do they have to throw everything out?
I tell you this: if they don't use his script, they're making an error that way. If they just have somebody rewrite the whole movie, they're putting it behind.
Mm-hmm.
But
they've already delayed it.
Yeah.
Well, they came out and it's already delayed.
Sure.
Why they figure this
then
out.
Then you know what? Cancel it altogether.
So.
Because here's the thing that's going to happen. Bautista said, if they don't use the script, I'm getting out of my contract.
Right.
I'm not coming back. There's going to be others that are going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
They're going to do it.
Right.
I guarantee you Chris Pratt probably will do it.
Chris Pratt's keeping a pretty low profile on this.
He doesn't need these movies anymore.
No, he's got Jurassic World.
Well, he doesn't even
need Jurassic World. He's got the Lego movie.
He can do whatever now. He's opened up. He's shown that he can do more than just Andy on The Office.
Right.
Because nobody really remembered that he was on Everwood.
Parks and Rec.
It's the same thing. They're the same thing. I mean, come on. That would have been a great crossover episode.
So... like Michael Scott shows up in Pawnee, Indiana for some reason.
Yeah, to sell paper.
To the Parks Department.
To the Parks Department.
And Ron Swanson runs him out on a rail.
Yeah.
Son.
Just the confrontation between Ron Swanson and Dwight Schrute would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I don't think that Chris Pratt has said anything because Chris Pratt is working on what he needs to work on. In case he has to say, I'm not coming back.
Well, and he's like, I'm taking some time to pray on this. Is his line right now?
Because he is a very religious person.
And so I'm not knocking him for that at all.
I can't knock him for that. It's like, you know, it's what he believes, and it's like praying on it is praying on it to the fact that you have to think of the repercussions to your family,
right?
To what's going on. I mean, you know. Whatever you do in your job affects your personal life and your family.
Well, and Chris Pratt has more than one franchise that he's the head of now. So between Guardians, Lego, and Jurassic World, he does have to really measure his words.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, he's not hiding, not saying anything.
But I mean, he's doing the right thing. Coming out and saying, you know, we support James Gunn pretty much. It's like Disney should listen.
Yeah.
Because the cast of Roseanne didn't do that with Roseanne.
No, they stepped aside and they said, we want to do our own thing. Please don't fire us.
Yeah.
All. You know,
because they know
there's a difference. There's an absolute difference in currently tweeting something.
James Gunn did not come out and say like tweet like, you know what? I just banged a bunch of kids this weekend.
Right.
Roseanne came out and said something racist on a tweet.
Well, and you know,
there is a difference.
So
because
here,
it's one of those things where it's like controversy over being a smart ass and controversy over actually being a racist.
Here's the difference, right? 10 years ago, Roseanne did a Hitler sketch, right?
Yes.
Where she was Hitler.
Yeah.
All right. 4 or 5 years ago, she did something stupid. I don't know if you remember when she did the national anthem and then spit on the ground when she was
done.
When
she did
right?
a reality show and was smoking weed on the reality show.
I don't remember that, but
I didn't watch it.
So then you fast forward to today, she's still doing that same shtick, yeah. right? Whereas
I don't think it's a shtick. I think it's
her. Yeah. Whatever, you know, but I mean, she's still doing the same thing. Like, you know, you look at James Gunn and we really didn't want to talk about this, but we're in it. You look at James Gunn and I did, but I didn't. Like I understood and I agreed with you when you said we didn't really want to do this. But he has definitely not done the same thing. And like look at him when he was like Super and Slither, you know,
dark movies that are a piece of his psyche,
mm-hmm.
but so is Guardians of the Galaxy.
I was gonna say, go look at his storytelling then,
well,
and then come back and look at how he's
from
really
the beginning of like Romeo and Juliet up until now. And you it's the what will be talked about in 40 years on Turner Classic Movies about this director, look how he,
this is his path.
Yeah.
And none of this changes the fact that Guardians of the Galaxy is still my favorite Marvel movie.
Okay.
And, you know, and I don't think it should change the fact of that, but I do think at
some of my favorite celebrities are total asses.
Like
total ass.
Like you have people.
So it's like, you know, that happens.
You have, it's the whole celebrity worship thing.
Yeah.
You
I don't
know,
worship any celebrities. I just have favorites.
I'm not saying you.
Right.
But, you know, there is the whole thing. And so how about, like, Michael Rooker quit Twitter after all this, right?
Smart move,
it's
probably.
Like, Ryan Johnson went and deleted 20,000 tweets.
But they're still
after
in the
all
library
of this.
Of
well, yeah, they're somewhere. I mean, like, that's the thing. It's in a cached page. It's in an archive page.
I'm deleting
page.
My Twitter after this episode.
All 127 people are going to miss you. Now, I don't know. I don't know. How many people do you have following you? Do you even know?
I don't know anymore.
Yeah. Anyway.
Only 127.
I have no idea. I was just making a mean joke.
I don't know.
Anywho. So, but back to the main point of this. Is Batista is perfectly within his right, and he may be contractually.
I have 332 people following me.
Boom. How many do I have?
Or no, I have 39 people following me.
Oh.
Never mind. I read the wrong thing. I have 39.
39, boom.
Woo!
I don't even know how many I have.
But I'm not going on there soliciting for followers or anything like that. And I'm not a celebrity at the moment, so.
You're a celebrity to me, Johnny.
Yeah, well, you never know. You never know what could happen.
Yeah. So.
And the thing is, if I got hired by Disney, don't hold it against me that I talk to porn stars. I mean, you know, they're people too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just working.
They have a job.
Yeah. All right.
That's what I'm saying, though. That's the type of stuff that, like,
right.
you know, 20 years from now, I could be directing Guardians of the Galaxy 5. And
I hope in after 20 years, there's more than just 5.
There's not now because of controversy.
Okay, okay.
I have to recast the whole cast.
Oh, God. Well, okay, if DC didn't recast after that shitstorm that was Justice League.
You know. Actually, you just bring in the old cast and make them where they went through a time warp. The Sylvester Stallone group.
Bring in Sylvester Stallone and Michael Rosenbaum
and
Ving Rhames and all that.
Exactly.
Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. But then you make it where they went through a time warp, so they de-age, so you cast younger actors as those characters.
And you bring back Chris Pratt and Zoe Saldana.
No, because they're not coming back.
No.
I hate to say that, but I really like...
You know, it really makes me sad to think that Avengers 4 is the last hurrah for this group.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. That's really like,
I mean, cause it ended, two ended on a cliffhanger.
Put it to you this way. Disney can decide that they'll bring him back.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, say, this is your last directorial.
Yeah.
For us. You'll just be a producer from this point on.
Yeah.
And that way, you know, it's mea culpa, but you have to, your reparations on top of that.
So
type thing.
My big thing is,
cause directors make a lot more than producers do.
Right.
So, you know, as sucky as that sounds.
My big problem with this, though, is this was literally a hit job.
Yeah.
From a certain political ideology.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on. Why are you?
A cult, perhaps? A cabal?
No.
A cabal?
No, I don't think these people are, you know, organized enough to be a cabal.
They're Decepticons.
Yeah.
They all want to be the leader.
Right.
But Megatron's in charge.
Right, right, right.
Right.
So I think
that's the best way to describe them all.
I like it. You know, I really wish Disney would have taken a moment and looked at, like, okay, where is this coming from? Who are the people complaining? Because
that
I tell you
the
who's not.
First move they made, and then they should have brought James Gunn in and they should have said, talk to us.
Yeah.
Tell us what's going on. And then if it was one of those things where they would have just been like, cool down on the tweets, you know, if
because the reason they targeted him
because he's been
is because of his political views and, you know,
the joke of a president that we have. I'll say that
the thing that we're so lucky to have here is we have the freedom of speech.
Yeah.
We have the freedom to question our leaders and our authority figures. What we do not have with the First Amendment is the freedom from being offended. Right? You can say what you want and it can offend me.
Yeah.
And I can say what I want and it can offend you. But as long as it's not hate speech, as long as it's not saying to kill someone or to have someone kill themselves, like, you got to get over it, people.
Right.
You just really do. I am so happy I'm not a journalist anymore. You know, for like a publication.
Right. Yeah.
Because
I'm glad I didn't go into it.
I would have never survived in this world of journalism because I was not taught to just take my opinion and present it as fact.
No. Because I took journalism classes, when you do a story, you identify the who, what, when, where, why as the beginning of your story. And then you investigate the who, what, when, where, and why. You don't just say, you know what? These celebrities got a cabal going on. They're all eating blue vegetables. You know?
But
it's a conspiracy.
I think if I could
Chris Pratt's got a dinosaur in his backyard. We all know it.
Yeah.
But he's trying to get everybody to get a dinosaur. He's gonna form the Dino Riders.
The kid bot would kill to have a dinosaur in our backyard.
I'd be like, get me a T-Rex. Now. Shrink him down to the size of a dog so I could just put him on a leash and like just walk down the street with him.
How about just a little bigger, like a horse, so you could ride him?
Yeah, I don't want to do that to him.
Oh, okay.
Not a T-Rex. You ride like a Brontosaurus or something.
It's so slow though.
They're all slow. A T-Rex gets up to 25 miles per hour. That's slow. I could pass a T-Rex up on the highway. I could run from a T-Rex, but I could pass a T-Rex up in a car.
You take like 4 steps and the T-Rex would be like,
yeah. Well,
anyway.
Yeah, I'd be like with my little shocker thing and be like, no, bad T-Rex.
Bad T-Rex. Bad Rexy. All right. So here's my thing. Dave Bautista, if he doesn't want to do it, he should absolutely be allowed to walk away.
Oh, yeah.
Because what his contract was to work with James Gunn.
I think the option that Disney should give them all is if you don't want to do it, you don't have to.
So, I mean, because if
we understand
Avengers
Disney,
4 is
Disney
in the can,
be
it's
understanding
done.
Enough. Yeah. No, they're still filming.
No.
Yeah, they're still filming.
Oh, I thought it was done.
They're almost done. They're working on reshoots and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah. I mean, but like the principal photography stuff.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So
I'm sure there's still some second string photography going on somewhere with explosions and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're doing
Jeremy Renner's got to shoot
ADR
all his stuff,
and, yeah.
Time traveling and. You know,
they did it. So him and Paul Rudd did all their scenes up like away from each other, and they're just CGI'd into scenes together.
Well, he posted stuff on either Twitter or Instagram, Renner? where it was like, you know that he's working on it, mm-hmm. but he couldn't say that he was working on it. So he slipped it in there. And it's like, oh, nice.
Cool. Good for him.
He's also in Star Wars. Totally joking with you, but
allegedly Carrie Russell is.
Well, yeah.
So it's Princess Leia.
She's worked with JJ multiple times.
I know. So on Felicity and Mission Impossible 3.
Mm-hmm. Which I finally got to watch that one again.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one in forever and I didn't own it.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
All right. So let's I'm done. I'm done with this.
Well, then we can get to that.
Well, no, I want to talk about Picard.
Oh, we didn't talk about
that? No, we did not talk about the Picardissons.
You skipped over that.
I didn't. Right. We went from Ruby Rose to...
controversy.
We went from newness to controversy, now to retreading Star Trek characters.
It's not retreading.
I'm still not buying All Access.
Well, that's up to you.
I'll
pay for 10 episodes of Picard.
Yeah.
And watch all of Discovery at the same time.
See, if they're smart, what they'll do is like if you do like a 7-day trial, they'll say you don't have access to everything. You only have access to the first
And I won't do 7-day trial. I'll just pay for it. Oh. And, you know, if I want to cancel it after that, you know, who knows if they'll do 2 seasons of Picard, whatever they want to do. It's like, but, you know, that has to be the name of the show. Star Trek Picard.
Picard.
Star Trek Luke Picard.
Star Trek Make It So.
That would be an awesome title, but it ain't happening.
Boom.
Engage.
My job.
Star Trek Engage. No, I'm hoping
that
he's not
Star
a captain.
Trek Earl Grey hot.
Earl Grey tea hot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So.
Yeah. But I'm hoping that he's not a captain.
No, he's got to be an admiral.
Ambassador.
Ooh, an
ambassador. Because it makes it easier to have him traveling around.
Sure.
Because if he's an ambassador, then he can travel to different places.
Maybe he's just a humanitarian? What if he went off the rails and he's like full Borg?
What if he went off the rails and he's just running the vineyard and that's all we're going to see is him running a vineyard? All
right, I would pay to watch that.
Dallas.
That would be hilarious.
It's going to be like Dallas except with grapes.
Next Generation was all a dream.
Ooh. Did he actually decided to just stay?
No. He's really like a French grape farmer, like wine.
Yeah, like
you
he
know.
Decided to stay,
yeah.
but he had a dream he was Captain Picard.
In like 1932. And ooh. all of Star Trek is just his dream.
They did that in Deep Space Nine. when him and Avery Brooks' character from Far Beyond the Stars would meet up and be like, I have this dream about how I'm a captain of a spaceship. And he goes, wait, I have a dream where I'm the captain of a space station. No. I hope that he's ambassador.
Yeah.
I hope that we do see, you know, characters.
Yeah.
And that somebody at work asked me and I said, I hope we see Captain Worf of the Enterprise.
Captain Worf?
Yes.
I don't want him to be the Enterprise.
No,
I want him
to be captain of the Enterprise. Riker will be an admiral, so.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying I'm like. What if there is no Enterprise anymore?
There will always be an Enterprise. I'm sorry. We already know that from Enterprise.
What if it's...
Because there was Enterprise J.
I know. What if it's Captain Worf of the Discovery?
The new Discovery?
Yeah. Discovery E or whatever.
Whatever number. I don't even know what number they have on their ship. No, I hope for Captain Worf of the Enterprise. Data, you know, can be there. Actually, I would. That's one that I would say cast Brent Spiner.
Yeah,
as his companion.
So whatever.
If he's an ambassador, you know, he has to have adjutants. And so it's like,
and they could make it where because you know Data died, but like his memory was put into the Beta or whatever.
You know, the people who've read the Star Trek novels, Data put the program into B12 or mm-hmm. B4. B4.
Yeah.
Sorry, where eventually. The programming takes over and reboots him as Data.
Right.
So he comes back as Data.
So, and they could say, though, they could do get away with the aging thing that, like, B4 was just, like, he was a superior, like aging, like, you know, that
like
sort of thing.
He aged because he was an early program.
But he could still be, like, super strong and, like, android-like, but he, like, that's a really easy way to get with it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I hope to see everybody from Next Gen pop
But they
got to
call him Beta, B-A-T-A, oh not God. Data, you know, because he's B4.
Later on, I'm going to take you out back and knock the crap out of you a few times. Anybody wants to join me Friday, we'll meet over here in the backyard. And that. I hope everybody from Next Gen shows up. We know Jonathan Frakes will direct episodes because he's been directing
right.
episodes of Discovery.
I'm sure LeVar Burton.
Is it Roberto Orsi?
No, it's Klutzman, the other one.
Okay. But so. They both like worked on Star Trek.
Yeah. But Kurtzman. So Kurtzman is now going to be in charge of Discovery and this and some other
He's
thing.
In charge of all Star Trek with
yeah.
the CBS.
Because they said they want him to make it more global.
Right.
Which, you know.
There's
supposed
honestly, to be an animated series.
If you're
coming.
If you're going back to a well.
Yeah.
The Picard well is not a bad one to go back to because there is a lot of water in that well. Yeah.
I mean,
it is not run dry.
There's still a lot of story after the fact.
Whereas where Discovery lands, I don't care about that time frame in Star Trek anymore.
Right.
I don't want to see.
Well, that's what you're going to get the show you want it. The show
yeah.
that's after.
And so,
Next
yeah,
Gen
when I
after,
say I'm not going to like.
I mean, after the Dominion War is what you could say.
Post, that would be awesome. That would be so
War,
awesome.
Post insurrection, post nemesis.
Yeah.
You know, but here's the thing. Here's where people aren't thinking. Romulus will be destroyed.
Yeah.
Because this has to tie into Star Trek.
Right.
Kelvin.
Right.
Universe, because Spock's gone. Because he did something to save something
right.
and Romulus was destroyed.
Right.
They will have to tie that countdown story in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who I hope shows up? John DeLancey. There has to be a Q episode in this stuff. Exactly.
Yep. I love it.
Because the best things that Patrick Stewart always had, like, was when he was with John DeLancey, Brent Spiner,
mm-hmm.
and Michael Dorn.
Yeah.
Because Michael Dorn and him, like, ate it up as, you know.
There is one person I don't want to see.
Wesley Crusher. Yeah. You know, that's fine.
I mean, just, like, Will Wheaton was a fine child actor.
Yeah.
Will Wheaton is not on the caliber of an adult actor who should be on a large TV
show.
With Patrick Stewart.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
I'd like to see Ian McKellen show up just as, like, a little bro thing. Like, he's another ambassador from,
yeah.
not the Federation, but from some planet
It'd be
or
cool
something.
If he was a Romulan.
Oh
yeah,
yeah. Like yeah. that. But
I want to see Hugh Jackman show up.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. I really think that people are probably going to be like soliciting themselves.
Yeah. Oh
because
yeah.
Because it's Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Because he's touched
Sir Patrick.
So many like people in their careers and that
right.
you know, it would be cool because she was on an episode. Famke Janssen
yeah.
showing up because she was Kamala.
Mm-hmm.
And if that was a story, because if he's an ambassador now,
yep.
maybe that would be a planet that he was sent to
that
deal
would be
with
cool.
something. But, you know, we'll see. They haven't even said, you know, it just
right.
was an announcement.
It's 2019
that,
before
I think
they
it was
kind of
cool that,
so.
Like, you know, because he came out, nobody knew he was going to be there to do an announcement of that. They just thought he was going to be there to sign
yeah.
autographs and stuff. And he comes out and does the autograph or the announcement and, there was a picture that was shot from in front of the stage and Jonathan Frakes and LeVar Burton are standing back there listening to the announcement. And you could just see like them, like, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Cause LeVar is a director now, like a very prolific mm-hmm. director. So I'm like, you already got a director for a couple episodes of each.
I mean, if it's 10 episodes, give 4 to Jonathan, give 4 to LeVar and bring in like, you know,
Gates McFadden.
Someone else to do
I mean,
two episodes.
She was directing yeah. episodes, and Roxanne Dawson from mm-hmm. Voyager.
Yeah,
she like
or
Robert
Duncan.
Yeah, Robert McNeil.
Robert McNeil. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you had the Duncan.
Yeah,
part
Robert Duncan
yeah.
McNeil. I
yeah.
couldn't think. I wanted to. I just wanted to say Neil. I forgot
they
the Mick
call him
part.
Robbie McNeil. All
right.
Yeah.
Cool. You know, I was excited to hear this news.
Yeah.
Like I joke that, you know,
yeah.
it's like,
I just don't
oh,
want
but...
him to be part of Starfleet. I want him to be not part of Starfleet. Like give us a little bit more perspective.
Yeah, like
of
the I
universe.
Like the humanitarian
yeah,
like
aspect humanitarian
of it,
ambassador
so.
Type thing, you know, is cool. The archaeological thing would be cool. Like if archaeological adventures
ooh,
in
like
Star
Indiana
Trek.
Jones
yeah,
Star
like,
Trek crossover.
Like Picard decided to become
yeah.
Indiana Jones.
I'm all in for that. Okay, that I will pay for.
Data in him? Data could be Short Round?
No time for love, Dr. Picard. Oh, and he's got to be a doctor.
You call him Mr. Picard.
Dude, you can't. do that.
Yeah, I can. I just did.
You can't work at Disney in 10 years
they,
now.
They did that in an Indiana Jones movie. Owned by Disney now. See?
Well, anyway.
Let's not go back and look at the founder's history and comments on certain things either. You know?
No.
Disney has a lot of double standards.
Yeah, well.
They eat up the kids and spit them out and don't support them when they become drug addicts and stuff like that.
You know? Yeah. But, hey, it's all about the fans.
It's all about the money.
It's all about the money. So if Disney was all about the kids.
Did you hear that in your...
I did, yeah. Okay. If Disney was all about the fans or the kids or the money, like...
If they came out and said, we're about the fans and the money, I'd be like, good for you, Disney.
Yeah.
Good for you for telling me what you're about.
Because if they were really about the fans, then we wouldn't have, like, Rian Johnson attacking fans and it being okay.
Yeah.
So, and this is coming from two people who more or less enjoyed The Last Jedi.
Bits and pieces of it, yeah.
More or less. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Mission Impossible Fallout.
We should go
through
and make like a list of movies that we disliked and see where what one falls at the bottom and what one falls at the top.
We can make that. We can do that.
Like the other last night I came upstairs to go to bed, and you know she had the TV on upstairs.
Yeah,
and she had fallen asleep, but I walked in and Star Trek V was on, and I said to her, and she was half awake when I said it because she asked me if I said it this morning. I said, you shouldn't watch this. It'll give you nightmares.
What was it?
Star Trek V.
Oh.
the worst Star Trek movie ever produced.
That's funny. That's very, very funny. You're so mean. All right. Let's talk Mission Impossible 6.
Let's just talk Mission Impossible. Fallout.
Well, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, because let's just talk Mission Impossible. We're not going to do a review.
For the first time. Well, I'm just going to say this just right off the bat.
You enjoyed it.
I love this movie. Yeah. I liked it better than Infinity War.
Okay.
And I can't wait for it to come out on home video release.
I loved it more than Infinity War, but I enjoyed it a lot.
Dude, this movie had me literally on the edge of my seat the entire time. And like, you want to talk about stakes?
Yeah.
Like, okay, this movie's been out for 2 weeks. Spoiler warnings. Like, you think two or three main characters are going to die several times throughout the movie, and you believe that they will actually kill them.
Yeah, I thought this might have been Tom Cruise's last Mission Impossible
movie. I thought this was
going to
be Simon Pegg's last Mission Impossible movie. Yeah. All right, so here's what I want to see from Mission Impossible after this.
Yeah.
And so I want to see Tom Cruise become the director, and I want to see Rebecca
of IMF,
okay. And I want to see Rebecca Ferguson take over the team.
They die. The director's
I want
die.
Him. I want him. Oh, that's all right, though. Like, but I want to see Rebecca Ferguson's.
Do you want to see her in charge of the team?
I want to see her as the team leader.
Okay.
She.
They could do that with Ethan Hunt in the group.
Which
so,
is fine.
Yeah.
But I just always think, like, if he's in the group, he's going to be the leader kind of a thing. Like, they're always going to turn
because
to him.
It's a Tom Cruise production.
Well, right. Whatever happened to Wagner?
Wagner.
It was like the Cruise Wagner Productions, and now it's just Cruise. Anyway, I don't know.
Retired,
maybe.
Died. Don't want to say that. You know, I mean, if you go, it's weird because if you go back and look at certain movies from the 80s and 90s, it's a Simpson Bruckheimer production.
Yeah.
And now it's just Bruckheimer.
Yeah.
Because Don Simpson passed.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
That cocaine.
Was that what it was?
He
had a heart attack
because of cocaine.
Well, you know.
So, I
guess we fire everybody who did cocaine from Disney now.
I'd like to see
Jerry
Vanessa
Bruckheimer. Bye.
I'd like to see Vanessa Kirby return. She was the arms dealer. She was awesome.
Yeah, she's from The Crown.
Yeah, I didn't. She was also in About Time.
That I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, where
she's
do I?
Very young.
That's what I knew her from.
When she shows up, because, you know, I've been watching The Crown, and she shows up, and I'm like, you look awesome with blonde hair. Like, because she doesn't have blonde hair in The Crown.
Oh, she's so pretty.
And I was like, wow, you're really pretty with blonde hair,
And then she
too.
Was in Jupiter Ascending, which I don't know if you saw that
I've
one or
that.
Not. That is not a good movie,
but I've seen it.
I remembered her from that.
I don't remember. She's just great on The Crown, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Because cool. She plays Elizabeth's sister.
So, for the first time...
This movie had a lot of like a lot of people that play royals and mm-hmm. stuff, because Rebecca Ferguson played the White Queen,
yep.
which was a Starz production.
And she was on she was in The Last Showman as well.
Greatest Showman?
Or Greatest Showman, The Last Showman.
I haven't seen
that's
that.
It's the last everything. All right, so in the scope of Mission Impossible, this is the first time we got a true like continuation sequel
from the
previous
movie.
One.
Right, yeah.
Cuz I've talked to a few people and they're like, "Oh, I want to go see that." I'm like, "You even before I went to see it, it's
right.
like you have to watch Rogue Nation first."
Yeah, if you haven't seen Rogue Nation, you have to go see Rogue
because
Nation.
Because you're not going to understand Elsa if you don't see Rogue Nation,
right.
which
you're
is Rebecca Ferguson's character.
What's his name that's running the show? The bad guy.
Oh, Solomon Kane.
Yeah, Kane. That's
is it Kane?
I think so.
Lane. Solomon Lane.
Solomon Lane.
So
the flip of Ethan Hunt, pretty much.
Which, I mean, you want to talk about an awesome bad guy?
Yeah.
And the boss to not kill him for the second movie in a row.
Right. Yeah. He could come back.
He will. I mean, yeah. Like, yeah. Did you catch the, like, how far into the movie was it before you figured out who Henry Cavill was?
Oh, I knew it right off the bat.
I was 7 minutes in. Like, I looked at my watch, and I was seven minutes
yeah,
from, and I was like.
You know how far I knew?
The previews?
The
yeah.
Yeah. Because I was like, I'm like, you got the mustache. You're twirling that. You're twirling that mustache at some point. I mean, even if you're not physically twirling that mustache, you're twirling that mustache at some point.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I'm like, you are the bad guy.
So I feel like he should have been MI6 instead of CIA.
Like done the British accent and all that
because
stuff.
Because he should have talked with
made
his
more
real
sense
accent.
With the Solomon Lane
exactly.
part of the story, yeah.
And so, but I also think it makes more sense for him to be an apostle because he would have been in on
yeah.
the syndicate, right, from the jump.
Right, yeah.
So, Angela Bassett's character frustrated me in this movie.
Why?
It was unnecessary to have that character there. It was unnecessary for the CIA to turn on another U.S. intelligence-based organization.
Well, it just goes back to the last, was it the last movie that they were trying to shut it down?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it just goes back to that because...
It was, but, I mean, but at the same time, it was like...
The government still was not happy with the IMF.
Well, no, and they never
yeah,
will
and
be.
And it's like, you know, let's figure out how we can shut this thing down. And they thought that they had an ally in Alec Baldwin, and he realized that,
yeah.
oh, wait, this is a necessary
yeah.
group.
Getting the closure on Julia from Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yep.
Because, I mean, we saw her in Ghost Protocol.
Yeah.
We didn't see
they
much of her.
They alluded to her in Rogue Nation.
In Rogue yeah. Nation. And then we see... And how excited was it that Wes Bentley showed up as her husband?
I was, like, looking for him the whole time because
he's in the
cast
yeah.
credits at the beginning. And it's like, okay, I guess we're not getting
Wes Bentley going to play another bad guy?
Like, is he the guy? Like, I was thinking, is he the guy?
Is he Lark?
Yeah.
So...
And then, you know, it's like, okay. He shows up for, like, a few minutes and I'm like... Good enough.
Yeah, it was perfect. And he was so I like it when that guy smiles. Like he's like just
like
a really
a genuine looking
yeah, it's
smile.
Like he's just a very genuine actor.
Right.
And it was just really cool to see him and like their interaction and being Julia's
not
husband
knowing
and
anything about
knowing
her
nothing
past
about
because
her.
Luther had taught her
yeah.
how to change everything.
Now, I could do a Mission Impossible movie with just Julia and Luther and be totally happy with that,
oh, when
too.
They're defusing
yeah.
the bomb, yeah.
Like, the chemistry between Ving Rhames and Michelle Monaghan
yeah.
is amazing.
Well, and, you know, it was one of those things where I hadn't seen 3 in years.
Right, that's what
and
you're
it,
saying.
And it was on sale. They had all 5 of them on sale at Best Buy for $20. The
yeah.
Blu-rays.
Yeah.
No digital codes or anything, just the movies.
Well, iTunes had them all on
right.
sale for $20.
And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go buy this. It's like I was going to
Is that
go,
the only one you bought?
I bought all
oh.
of them together.
Oh, okay.
All 5 of the Mission Impossible movies before this one.
Yeah.
$20.
Yep.
So I was like, I already had Ghost Protocol and Rogue mm-hmm. Nation. But I'm like... I don't have the first 3, and I'm like,
yeah.
this is worth it. And I was like, I'm going to watch 3 after. I watched 3 after
okay.
because I got it like the week after. And I watched 3, and I went, man, that makes all of them so much better that I got that back in my brain because I remembered it, but I didn't remember it that well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm glad I went back and watched it again because I was like, I watched Ghost Protocol and Rogue Nation
prior
to two nights before I went to see the movie. And I was like, man, I'm glad I watched Rogue Nation because I forgot a lot of stuff.
So we spent the last like 4 weeks or so watching all five of them.
Oh, okay.
Because the kid wanted to see this one. She liked the preview. She's like, I really want to see that. And I was like, okay, but you have to watch all of them first so you understand what's going on.
Yeah.
So you really understand who these people are. So she liked one. She thought one was okay. She didn't like two. Halfway through, she asked if we could turn it off. Yeah, and I said, no, I had to sit through this in the theater. You have to sit through this right now. Three, I think, confused her a little bit.
Because it does a jump.
Yeah. There's a weird time jump in there where you think you fell asleep, but you didn't. She liked four. She loved five. She loved six.
Sure.
So, but when's the last time a movie franchise, when it got to its sixth, like, so the same franchise.
I was talking to her about this last
When's
night,
the last time you got to the
gonna,
sixth movie? That's the best one.
I knew we were going to talk about this today, and I was like, instead of talking about doing a review because it's been out so long, I was like thinking of franchises, and I'm like, the only franchise I can compare this one to at the moment is Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how is it that you can get on the sixth movie and still be on top of your game and not have to make everybody a superhero?
Well, yeah. Because
he's never been a superhero. He's gotten injured
and
severely.
He got his ass kicked in this movie.
Well, he broke his foot.
Like, well, no, not just breaking his foot, but like he got his ass. Yeah. He got beat down several times in this movie.
I mean, in the movie, like just in the movie, but it's like he broke his foot during production and still like that's in there.
Yeah, because he gets up and he limps off.
Yeah,
and so.
I was like, I'm like, that's awesome. But like, I'm like, for this dude, like in his 50s.
He's 56.
56. All the running. All the physical stuff. I'm like, but they don't make him a superhero.
No.
They just make him, you know, he's a well-educated man. He's been trained in the arts of all this stuff.
He's an espionage
and
master.
And he carries the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and they tell you that. The reason why he's not with Julia is because she's seen it in his face all the time. And when she runs into him and it's like, I literally was like, that's probably one of the most heartbreaking moments I've seen in a movie, like in a long time. Like he turns around and she's standing there and he's like, literally you just see his shoulders slump.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
because he tried to keep her away from it all.
Yeah. And it's like they went after her.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's when it was like, okay, this is a different game. Yeah.
Well, that was why the whole helicopter thing was so awesome.
Well, and the helicopter thing was cool, too, because of the fact that he learned how to fly a helicopter for this movie.
Yeah.
And the scenes that they shot in that helicopter made it look like he was learning how to fly a helicopter.
Well, he didn't know how to fly. Because Luther was like, wait, you know how to fly a helicopter? And he never answered that question. Yeah. So.
And it's like, but you like the interaction he was having with the helicopter. Mm-hmm. I was like, it looks like this was just his training.
Yeah. Okay. Your power.
Yeah.
Like. And, like, you know, he's like okay, how do I get rid of the player?
And it's like, oh, great. Now the whole board's lit up. It's like, you're like, oh,
when, you know, he had the great idea to drop the payload and he missed because he didn't know what he was doing. Yep. And, yeah, that was awesome.
It was a cool chase scene. It was something that hasn't been done a lot. Helicopter chases aren't done a lot because they're difficult.
And they're expensive. And
well, they're difficult to shoot because helicopters are the like most difficult thing
and
to fly.
Lately they've usually just CG the helicopter in. They don't even do a real
helicopter.
That's
the thing. There wasn't no CG on that thing.
So did you have a favorite like scene, like set piece of the movie?
I liked when they did the hypothetical breaking out of Solomon Lane.
Yeah.
And made you think it was really happening.
That was cool.
That was cool. And I liked when they actually did break out Solomon Lane. Because I was like, that's one of those bait and switches that Mission Impossible, the TV series, would always do where you're like, what's going on?
Which is like De Palma did that.
Yeah.
You know, they really got the bait and switch when Benji was Solomon,
when they
finally revealed that Superman was the bad guy.
Yeah.
The motorcycle chase through Paris.
Yeah.
Like when he goes by the Arc de Triomphe, at the Champs-Élysées.
Like
that is my favorite. Yeah. That might be my favorite Mission Impossible anything because that's him on the bike.
I think it was a beautifully shot scene. And I'm like, it's one of those ones where when the Blu-ray comes out, I hope there's a behind the scenes, because it's how did they do that?
So did you see the...
It doesn't look like a crane shot.
Did you see the Kingsman, the Golden Circle?
Yeah.
So they did the behind the scenes of how they did that opening car chase.
Yeah.
It's awesome. You should definitely
watch that.
But so you can tell this is real, and you can tell like he, cause he keeps putting that left leg down.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you noticed that or not, but like when you're taking a turn, like, you know, you kind of put your leg down sometimes.
Oh, right, yeah.
But he was going so fast.
Yeah.
That, like.
Yeah, that's what I want to see that, like, because I was like, man, that's a cool shot. It's like, you know, just looking at it from the point of view of taking pictures and doing videos. And I'm like, that's an awesome shot.
Just
I mean,
the technical mastery that Christopher McQuarrie showed in this movie.
Yeah.
So, and he's Ralph's kid, right?
I don't know.
I think he is.
He might
but,
be. I think it's
but
cool.
He did the last one.
Yeah,
like he wrote this one. Like,
didn't he?
Man,
write,
he wrote
Ghost Protocol.
Yeah, he wrote Ghost Protocol, and Brad Bird directed Ghost Protocol.
Which Brad Bird did a decent job too.
I think Ghost Protocol until Rogue Nation came out. Ghost Protocol is my favorite. And now this one is my favorite since Rogue Nation. The team was great. They did a couple little like fourth wall break like winks at the audience, which kind of was like the TV show.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to bring up Chuck.
Chuck, the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Henry Cavill's Chuck in Brandon Routh's character on, or Henry Cavill's Walker.
Oh, is he?
And, and Brandon Routh's like, oh crap, what was his name?
I don't remember.
I can't remember now. I just had it in my head. Anyway, Brandon Routh's character on Chuck.
Yeah.
The good super agent turned bad.
Yeah.
The good super agent turned bad.
Mm-hmm.
Who was
Superman. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was kind of funny. I don't think that was intentional or anything like that. Like,
I think they were just going for somebody they knew was a, like a legitimately decent actor.
Because he did better than I thought.
Well, you've never watched The Tudors, have you?
No.
Okay.
And
so
like,
Tudors,
I get a lot of crap for that because
he
it's my last name. Yeah.
He rocks it on The Tudors.
Which is why I thought giving him. So a lot of these British actors and actresses have a really hard time emoting with the English.
Yeah.
With the English voice. I think Hugh Jackman is the one who does it the best.
But he's Australian.
Well, but he still has a pretty
right.
thick Australian accent, right? And he also went, but when he does Wolverine, he's like an octave lower than his normal voice.
Right, he's got to play the gruff.
Like he adds that gruffness.
Yeah.
Whereas like Cavill, like he still speaks pretty high.
Yeah.
Like he has a relatively high octave in his voice. And here I am getting into audio nerdness. Whereas I think if he would have done just his straight British accent, he would have been part of MI6. It would have.
But then, you know, it's.
But that's a total nitpick.
I think it was just it's the idea that it's still an American produced movie.
Yes.
So you try to have as many American accent actors
right.
in it as possible, because, you know, if you're.
Well, and I also
audience here.
Think Solomon Lane has the English accent. He's the bad guy.
Right.
Like, you don't want to have that correlation of you.
Thank George Lucas for the, you know, British people have to be the bad guys.
Yep. Yeah, they should be.
Well, no, not all of them, but, you know. I just.
What was it Suri calls them? Colonizers.
Colonizers, yeah.
So.
But yeah, I really enjoyed this one. I'm looking forward to what they do next. I mean.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I like Michelle Monaghan, like
her story's done.
And,
yeah.
You know, I'm like, yeah, I, you know, she won't be back. They pass the torch on. Rebecca Ferguson loves. Ethan
well,
Hunt.
Yeah, they're in love and, you know, they love each other very
he
much.
He never said he loved her.
But no, the whole White Widow character definitely can come back.
Right.
We got to have a reckoning with her brother.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the whole. Like you said, that whole the whole breaking Solomon Lane out was such a cool experience.
The thing, like, you know, and people always make fun of it, like with A-Team and that, and with Mission Impossible. In Mission Impossible, they always told you what they were going to do before they did it.
Right.
And then they switched something on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I love when they do that in these movies where it's like, you know, such and such is going to do this and such is going to do that. Either something goes wrong or they tweak something at the last moment. And it's like, that's great storytelling, because you told me one story, but you're showing me a different story. Mm-hmm. And I think with A-Team, it was the same thing where, you know, you were always told this is what we're going to do. And then they do it and something either went wrong or everything went right.
But I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah, exactly.
So you had talked about Julia, when he sees Julia's your heartbreaking moment.
Yeah.
For me, was when he sat down on my dream motorcycle and it didn't start. I'm like, oh, no, BMW. I loved his motorcycle. Like, I do. That's the bike I want, right? And then her, the Triumph that she was riding was awesome, too. It's like, damn. Like, there were some sweet-ass motorcycles in this movie. And, like,
I like the way they played her in this movie, too, because it's like, you
didn't know who she was.
Yeah, who she was working
for. I mean,
for.
Just like the last one. You didn't know. Like, is she Syndicate? Is she not? Like, you know, and the fact that the British government did not follow through and bring her in.
Yeah.
Like, that's prime IMF agent right there.
Well,
so,
I mean, they disavowed her.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So it's like.
Well, it's not only disavowed her. I mean, they just completely.
They disowned her pretty much.
Well,
yeah.
They just turned on her.
Right.
They it's it wasn't even
like
as.
The whole you've got to kill him or you can't come back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, fine. I'm going to go live in St. Croix and drink Mai Tais.
Now I'm going to be part of the IMF.
Yep. But I do think I would love to see her take on that leadership role because one, she's amazing in this role.
Yeah.
Two, she's amazing, an amazing foil for Ethan. And three, like, she kicks so much ass.
The only nitpick I had about this movie, they didn't say where Jeremy Renner's character was.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, you know, he was traveling through time trying to save half of the galaxy. Yeah. So it's okay. I'll give him a pass.
Right.
But
they, I mean, they've done that with characters in the past that were in the movies and then not in the next movie and that because the IMF is a very large organization.
Right.
Of rogue agents.
Yep. Are there any agents other than Ethan who are just completely loyal to their country?
Oh, I think that like they're that some of the characters we've seen in previous Mission Impossibles were very loyal. I think like what's his name that played Henry on the Tudors was in Mission Impossible 3. He was the helicopter pilot.
Oh yeah, Jonathan Rhys Davies.
Yeah, Jonathan Rhys Davies. His character in the Davies or Myers, I don't remember. It's okay. Him and the female in that movie.
Yeah.
They got together.
Yeah.
At the end, you were like, they're not coming back because they're leaving the IMF.
Yeah, they're going to make babies.
You know, and I'm like, but I'm like, they still were so loyal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, what happened to the other people that he taught? Like, you know, he was a teacher.
Right.
And that was Keri Russell's character, the only character that passed everything.
Yeah, she was the, like, you know, she
was the star student.
Well, because remember, if you remember, they had talked about how he turned so many down.
Yeah.
Right. And she was the one that he like gave the Ethan Hunt stamp of approval.
Right.
And then she goes and gets captured and killed on her first mission.
That all was because of Billy Crudup.
Yeah. Well, right. You know, and
who I did forget was in that movie.
I totally forgot too.
Was in that.
So I forgot Philip Seymour Hoffman was in that movie.
See, I remember him because he was a really good villain.
He was a
movie,
good villain.
And I'm like,
so
they killed him like one of the weirdest ways ever. And like one of the most gruesome where you're like, oh, don't show that.
No.
Just
no.
Push his head up into the truck. It's like, oh.
Although every time I see that, all I can think of is Speed.
Yeah.
When Dennis Hopper's like, oh, I have the bomb. And then Keanu pushes him up and he takes his head off on the subway and he goes, yeah, but I'm taller. Anyway. I think as a whole, Mission Impossible has got to be in the conversation of greatest movie franchises of all time.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the stumble of two and then bringing JJ into.
I think with two, the big problem with two is it was a.
This is a John Woo movie.
It was very much a thing of the 90s,
it's
the way.
Just a John, and, it's and, a John
he,
Woo
but
movie.
He went, the problem was he went full Woo, right? Which
does John Woo does anything besides full Woo?
I don't know.
I mean,
so
you've seen Face Off.
I have seen Face Off. I love Face Off.
If freaking doves fly out somewhere, you know it's a John
it's
Woo.
It's a John Woo movie.
And it happens in Mission Impossible 2.
Oh, like four times.
Yeah.
Like, I think Tom Cruise just had a
like a flock, like a flock of doves following him.
In the coat and then just put them
like,
on him and said,
he was like, "All right,
just flap it."
So
just flap it, just, you know.
No,
I don't think I can go back and watch that.
You have to watch it. The motorcycle joust with guns is
that Doug Ray Scott?
Doug Ray Scott, yeah. Which he turned down Wolverine to do Mission Impossible 2.
He kicked himself afterwards.
But he recommended Hugh Jackman.
Well, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. I like Doug Ray Scott in that movie. Like, he's
isn't Tandy Newton in that one?
Oh yeah, Tandy Newton's in that one. So I think that's like her first major U.S. movie.
That might have been. Yeah.
So, God, she's so pretty. She's really hot in that one. So it goes one, which is De Palma, which mm-hmm. was this great straightforward spy movie.
We're just going to do Mission Impossible.
Yeah, it was John
we're
Voight.
We're going to take the TV show and we're going to turn it into a movie. And John Voight played the character.
Totally forgot Emilio was in that.
Emilio.
Estevez.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets killed by the elevator.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that whole team.
Yeah.
Kristen Scott Thomas is part of that team.
So, but I remember her being in it. Yeah. But, all right. So you have that. Then you have two, which was the
John Woo-ish.
It was like that hackers, like it was of that era,
of that time,
right?
The 90s, yeah.
And it's got a very distinct look and feel and whatever. But the best thing about that is the rock climbing. You know, when he's like, that's the first time we see him out doing crazy stunts,
something physical.
Okay, so then you go with three, and three is a reset.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know, the stuff's happened that happened, and Ethan Hunt's now their star IMF agent mm-hmm. and all that.
Their star IMF instructor.
Right.
I equate a lot of what JJ did with The Force Awakens to Mission Impossible 3.
Okay.
With kind of just resetting the board.
Yeah.
Like, it's not obviously not the same story.
Right, because, yeah.
you know, The Force Awakens has a lot of
Star
Wars and
very
and
comparable
Empire
to Star Trek reset.
Yeah.
Type thing, because it's one of those things where it's like, we're not doing a total reset. This has all been set up for us.
It's a lot like First Contact.
Mission
if you think about it. Mission you're talking about his.
Yeah.
The Kelvin verse. Yeah.
Kelvin. It's like,
so
you can't have a ship fly through in ultra time and make Ethan Hunt who he is, but we're going to make it where, yeah, Tom Cruise is older.
Some time has passed.
I mean, Tom Cruise was
40s.
And he was his early 30s when the first one came out.
No, 92, 93. No, it was 96. It was 96. I'm sorry.
So
it was
in
high
his
school.
30s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's in his 30s and this one jumps ahead 10 years.
Yeah.
He's a more matured agent. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, mellowed out. It's, you know, he's been through a lot, obviously. And that to the point where he's an instructor and that it has to be brought in for a mission.
Right.
And it's one of those things where it's very comparable to Star Trek with the idea that this is a new group, mm-hmm. but you know them. You know who these characters are.
Right.
And I mean, that's what I think. Like, they did a good job because bringing Ving Rhames in mm-hmm. made it where, oh, yeah, the first movie did happen.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't remember if he was in the second
one. He was
one.
In the second one
was
for
he
like
in the
a second.
One?
Okay. Like, he wasn't in it very long. Well, yeah. No, he was in it because he found the house in Australia with Billy, the helicopter pilot.
I have to go back and watch the second one.
Yeah. And then four was just, I mean,
four
a
just,
whole nother thing.
Let's see what we can do to up the action and see if people like it.
Yeah.
I literally think that because Tom Cruise is a producer of these movies, and I think he just went in and JJ was produced that one too, and just said,
JJ's produced all of them since three.
But I think him and JJ probably just went, let's see what we can do to up the action.
So I can imagine this pitch room, right?
Yeah.
It's Tom Cruise going in. He's like, you know,
I'm going to blow the Kremlin up.
I like to do some crazy shit.
Yeah.
I want to have a rope loosely tied on the Burj Dubai.
Yeah.
And let me run across the building.
Yeah.
On the outside.
Yeah.
No, Tom. Well, all right. How about this? How about I climb up the side of it free?
Yeah.
And then I jump out a window, Bruce Willis Die Hard style.
Yeah.
And I run across the building and then jump into a window a few floors down.
Okay.
Oh, all right, Tom, let's do that one. You know, it's
meanwhile,
like,
he's just counting the money as he's telling him this. Like,
oh, and we're going to wait and we're going to have a sandstorm and I'm just going to run through it.
And we're going to blow the Kremlin up.
Yeah, exactly. So and then in five, the, well, I'm going to ride on the outside of an airplane.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna tie myself.
The one thing where I wouldn't want to be an insurance coverage person on this movie.
Lloyd's of London.
As soon as you're
sitting
there and he goes, yeah, they're going to tie me to the outside of a plane and we're just going to fly it straight up into the air. And I'd be like, what? You're going to be on it? Not a body double?
No.
Yeah, just me.
No,
it.
Just me.
And it's like, nah. Yeah. No.
You know this helicopter through the mountains?
He's just going,
I'm flying it.
I just see him pulling out a stack of hundreds.
No, I imagine it's he's on one side of the table and he's talking to someone on the other, and behind that person is two like Scientology people.
Oh, wow.
And they go to say no and they just feel a hand on their shoulder and they're like, okay, never mind. Yeah, we'll do that, Tom.
That he does that with
I don't
these
think
movies.
He does. No.
But I do think that he might come in with a stack of hundreds and just count it as he's telling him what he's thinking about doing.
It's not, no. When
and
you
the,
say
the director's just sitting next to him like.
So when you say a stack of hundreds,
like
he doesn't just have individual $100 bills that he's counting out.
Right.
It's like he's just stacking like 10,000 at a time. Like, okay, I'm at a million. No. Okay, here's
but
2 million.
He's,
no.
He's righteous because it's that thing where you're like, you're producing these movies.
Yeah.
You're the producer. You are like financing
these
movies. We'll let you do whatever you want as long as it don't kill you.
Well, and the fact that it's done by Alibaba now, which is a Chinese production company, these movies are huge in China.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. Like Black Panther just crossed the $700 million mark in the U.S.
Right.
And it's only the third movie to have that, like, to be higher in the U.S. than overseas, and, like, to cross whatever the billion-dollar mark.
Right.
Mission Impossible will make all of its money in China when it opens in, like, two or three weeks.
Where, you know, as much as, like, you know, people are like, oh, because it's a Chinese company, they've had to put a Chinese actor in. You know who I would like to see in this that's a Chinese actress? Is Zhang Ziyi.
Oh, yeah.
From Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon and Rush Hour 3? Mm-hmm.
I never watched the Rush Hour movies.
I think
she
was in Rush Hour 2. She's a great martial artist.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm like, could you just maybe make her part of the IMF team, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like not a bad guy.
Somebody for Benji to flirt with?
Yeah.
I'm just like, put her in that team just so Benji has somebody to flirt with.
Benji needs somebody.
Oh, this would be fun.
He needs someone to love.
You know, he can play that well.
So. He got to wear his mask this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, that scene was so cool. Yeah. And did you know it was him?
No. At first, I was like, what are they doing? Yeah. Why are they doing this? And then I'm like, wait a minute. Who's under the mask?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. Yeah. And then I realized when he starts like really going into the detail and twirling the mustache, I'm like, that's freaking, what's his name underneath
Benji.
There?
There's Benji.
Yeah, I'm like, oh.
Why do I have to play
him? This is an awesome, this is an awesome Mission Impossible thing.
I did love when he goes, why do I have to play him? And Ving Rhames looks at him and runs his hand up and down his own body and is like, oh, okay, well, there you go. So
that's how you start out the next one is Ving Rhames' character retiring.
Yeah. I thought he was going to die several times. I really thought they were going to kill him.
They did a really good
job. I thought Luther as maybe the director would be really cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So,
but then he died.
Well,
I think retiring him.
I was a little surprised they killed Alec Baldwin.
Available.
Yeah.
You know, if they need his help, like he shows up.
He's like Ned in Spider-Man Homecoming. He's the man in the chair.
Just I can't look at him anymore without hearing, it's all the meats from the Arby commercial.
We have the meats.
We have the meats. I'm like, damn it, Ving. Why did you do that?
Ving. Why, Ving? Why?
I would like to meet him. If I was.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Of the Mission Impossible people, he would be one of the ones that I would like to meet. Yeah.
I'd be happy to meet any of them.
Oh, sure.
So, but yeah, I get it.
I'd be happy to die in a Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah. So did you see the thing I shared the other day about the red shirts? It's like Kirk and he's like, you three need to
go dig
yeah.
a grave up. I've seen
so,
that before.
That
was
really funny. But I put, if they hand you a red shirt, .. go to bed school.
Yeah. Or command school.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway. All right.
Gold always looked good on me.
Blue's my color. Cool, man. Well, welcome back.
Thanks. I wasn't really gone.
Well, I know, but yeah. I had to go do the show without you, and it wasn't the same. And
that's okay.
It was a fun time, though. Anywho, on that note,
I was Spider-Man, like, with the building on top of him and the water filling up. That's pretty much what my last 2 weeks was like.
Yeah.
And that, you know, so.
So, cool.
Which I did watch that recently. I hadn't watched that since I seen it in the theater. And I watched it the other day, and I was like, this movie actually is really better than I remember it.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't watched
it. It's awesome.
Since the theater. Since I seen it in the theater, I hadn't watched it. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. On that note?
On that note, go watch Spider-Man Homecoming. Actually, go watch Mission Impossible. So, just do that.
Don't pirate it, though. Go see
it. No, go see it. Yeah. And
I think Mission Impossible movies should be seen in a theater the first time. Because I think there's enough there.
So 3 was the only one I didn't see in the theater.
2 and 3. I think I've seen 4, 5. Well, I've seen 5 and 6. And but I think 2 and 3 I did not see in a theater.
The only reason I missed 3 is I was at school and I didn't have a car. Like to easily go to where I needed to go.
Yeah.
So. All right. On that note, we'll be back next week. Later.
Later.
The Infamous Podcast was recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Our music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information out about the show by visiting us online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. There you can stay up to date with the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page. That's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show so we can bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is. And we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Later.